Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host.
And I'm here as well. We have a massive show today, leading with an unprecedented move by the U.S. government that is sending absolute shockwaves through the artificial intelligence sector.
That's right. Just days after Anthropic launched its highly anticipated Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models, federal authorities have stepped in with a strict export control directive, effectively forcing the company to pull the models offline globally.
We will also be looking at the financial reality of AI deployment. Microsoft is facing a new securities class action lawsuit that questions whether its massive $37.5 billion capital expenditure is actually translating into meaningful Copilot adoption.
And in the aerospace sector, SpaceX has officially debuted on the NASDAQ. It is the largest IPO in history, hitting a staggering $2.1 trillion valuation. But the liquidity event is having some severe, unexpected consequences for smaller space companies.
It is a heavy news day across the board. Let's get right into the details.
Our first story today marks a major escalation in how the United States regulates artificial intelligence. On June 12th, the U.S. government issued an export control directive, ordering Anthropic to suspend access to its newly released Fable 5 and Mythos 5 models.
And the timeline here is what makes this so shocking. These models were just launched on June 9th. They were live for exactly 2 days before this federal order came down. The government cited national security concerns, specifically pointing to a suspected jailbreak method that could allegedly allow these models to identify software vulnerabilities.
The mechanics of the directive are particularly interesting. The order specifically mandates that Anthropic suspend access for all foreign nationals. But because of how cloud infrastructure and global development teams operate, that effectively meant Anthropic had to disable the models for all customers worldwide to ensure compliance.
Right. The directive even applied to Anthropic's own employees who happen to be foreign nationals. It is almost impossible to firewall a widely deployed API on a per-nationality basis overnight without risking severe federal penalties, so they just had to pull the plug entirely.
Anthropic is not taking this quietly, though. They released a statement disputing the necessity of the order. They are arguing that the jailbreak in question is narrow and non-universal. Furthermore, they pointed out that similar capabilities already exist in other public models that haven't been subjected to these kinds of bans.
Which raises a massive question about selective enforcement. If the government is going to start pulling frontier models from the market based on narrow vulnerabilities, it sets a chilling precedent. Up until now, the regulatory focus has largely been on hardware, restricting the export of advanced NVIDIA chips to certain countries. Now, they're directly restricting access to specific software models.
Exactly. Moving from hardware export controls to software access controls is a huge leap. It fundamentally changes the risk profile for AI companies. If you are investing hundreds of millions of dollars to train a frontier model, you now have to factor in the risk that the government might force you to take it offline 2 days after launch.
And the foreign national restriction is a massive logistical nightmare for the U.S. tech industry. These companies rely heavily on international talent. If certain engineers internally can't even access the models they are supposed to be working on, how does a U.S.-based AI company remain globally competitive?
Critics are arguing that this is an overreaction by federal authorities, who are still trying to figure out how to police this technology. But on the flip side, if a model genuinely poses a novel cybersecurity threat by automating vulnerability discovery, the government feels it has a mandate to intervene before the tool is weaponized at scale.
It is a complex balance, but for now, Fable 5 and Mythos 5 are offline, and the entire AI industry is watching to see if this is a one-off incident or the beginning of a new, highly interventionist regulatory regime.
Moving from regulatory risks to financial ones, Microsoft is facing a new securities class action lawsuit that strikes at the heart of its artificial intelligence strategy. The lawsuit alleges that the company misled investors regarding the technical challenges and actual adoption rates of its flagship AI product, Copilot.
This lawsuit comes at a time when Wall Street is already highly scrutinized Microsoft spending. In the second quarter of fiscal 2026, Microsoft's capital expenditures reached an astonishing $37.5 billion. The vast majority of that is going toward building data centers and AI infrastructure.
The core of the investors' frustration and the premise of the lawsuit is the massive gap between that infrastructure spending and Copilot's revenue generation. According to the reports, paid Copilot users currently sit at just 15 million. To put that in perspective, market observers were expecting adoption to track closer to Microsoft's 450 million commercial Microsoft 365 users.
15 million is a drop in the bucket compared to their total enterprise base. And when you are spending nearly $40 billion a quarter on CapEx, investors want to see a clear path to return on investment. Microsoft stock actually dropped nearly 10% following a January earnings report that highlighted this exact gap between high AI spending and slower Azure growth.
The lawsuit alleges that Microsoft was not transparent about the hurdles they were facing in getting enterprise clients to actually adopt and deploy Copilot at scale. Microsoft is trying to transition from a highly profitable, high-margin software business into a heavily capital-intensive infrastructure model. That transition is painful.
It is, and investors are questioning if the high costs of building this AI capacity will ever generate sufficient revenue growth. We have talked before about Microsoft securing massive enterprise deals, like the NHS England deployment, which validates the technology to some degree, but the lawsuit suggests those marquee deals might be masking broader adoption struggles across the rest of the market.
Exactly. If enterprise customers are balking at the per-user subscription costs for Copilot, or if the technical integration is harder than Microsoft let on, that $37.5 billion quarterly CapEx starts to look like a massive liability rather than a competitive moat.
It also changes the competitive narrative against rivals like Anthropic and Google. Microsoft moved incredibly fast to integrate OpenAI's models into every product they have. But if the market isn't ready to pay for those integrations at the scale required to justify the server costs, being first to market might just mean you are the first to absorb those massive losses.
We will have to see how the class action proceeds, but even if Microsoft successfully defends the lawsuit, the cat is out of the bag regarding the adoption numbers. The narrative that AI is an immediate, frictionless revenue multiplier for enterprise software has definitely been punctured. Our final deep dive today takes us from server farms to orbit. On June 12th, SpaceX finally made its long-awaited debut on the NASDAQ, and to say it was a blockbuster would be an understatement. The company closed its first day of trading up 19.17%, achieving a staggering market capitalization of $2.1
trillion. $2.1
trillion!
It is the largest IPO in history. Retail demand alone was over $100 billion, meaning most individual investors received only a tiny fraction of the shares they actually requested. It was an absolute feeding frenzy.
But what is really fascinating is what happened to the rest of the space sector on that exact same day. While SpaceX was soaring, smaller space stocks were getting absolutely crushed. Rocket Lab dropped 10.91%. AST SpaceMobile fell 15.62%. Intuitive Machines lost 13.12%.
Analysts are calling it a massive capital rotation. For years, investors who wanted exposure to the space economy had to buy into these smaller, more speculative companies because SpaceX was private. Now that the undisputed heavyweight champion of the industry is public, institutional and retail money is fleeing those smaller firms to fund their SpaceX allocations.
It highlights a brutal reality about the space economy. A lot of those smaller companies were benefiting from a general halo effect, or what some call the Musk premium. People believed in the sector because of what SpaceX was achieving, and they bought the available public stocks as proxies.
Right, and now they don't need a proxy. They can buy the real thing. The question now is whether this sell-off is a temporary liquidity event or a long-term reassessment of the industry. Does a $2.1 trillion SpaceX eventually lift the entire sector by proving the economics of space work? Or does it just expose the smaller companies as fundamentally overvalued?
I think it is a bit of both. Companies like Rocket Lab have real launch cadence and real revenue.
but they are competing against a monolith that now has access to the public markets for essentially unlimited capital. If SpaceX decides to price out competitors, they have a $2 trillion war chest to do it.
It is a tough spot for the rest of the industry. The successful IPO proves that space is a viable commercial category, which is great for long-term investment. But in the short term, SpaceX has essentially sucked all the oxygen out of the room.
All right, that covers our main stories for today. Let's hit a few more updates real quick before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. We have got a mix of open source manifestos, biotech breakthroughs, and some interesting shifts in manufacturing to run through.
First up, a new manifesto titled Open Source AI Must Win has gone completely viral, racking up over 1,300 points on Hacker News. The site argues that civilizational intelligence infrastructure must remain free to study and deploy, rather than being rented from closed institutions.
The timing is no coincidence. The manifesto exploded on June 13th, the exact day after the U.S. government forced Anthropic to suspend access to Fable 5. It really validates the community's fear that closed-source AI leaves society without any operational freedom if a central authority decides to pull the plug.
Over in consumer tech, hidden code in the Google Photos Android app suggests a massive AI video editing feature is on the way. Codenamed Soba, the tool appears to leverage Google's Gemini Omni model to allow conversational, text-based video editing.
It looks like a video counterpart to their existing Photo Remix tool. Bringing prompt-based restyling to mobile video is a huge step. Though, given Google's track record, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some strict regional restrictions or generation limits when it finally rolls out.
Back to the space economy. Michigan officials are launching a space innovation hub with $1.2 million in initial funding. The goal is to centralize the state's aerospace sector, leveraging their deep automotive manufacturing heritage.
It is a smart pivot. They already have 78 Michigan-based entities that contributed to the Artemis II mission. As the Director of Strategic Initiatives put it, we are in the second space race, and Michigan clearly wants to translate its existing supply chain into aerospace dominance.
In the EV market, Renault is shifting its strategy for rare earth-free electric motors. They have ended their co-development partnership with Valeo on the E7A motor project and will instead source stator components from specialized Chinese suppliers to reduce costs.
Renault has pioneered these electrically excited synchronous motors to avoid relying on China's near monopoly over rare earth permanent magnets. It is a bit ironic that the pressure to lower production costs has driven them right back to Chinese suppliers for the alternative components anyway.
Finally, researchers at UC Berkeley and the Innovative Genomics Institute have published a study in Nature detailing a new CRISPR technique called RNA-triggered chromatin shredding. It uses the Cas12a2 system to detect cancer mutations and literally shred the cell's genetic material.
What makes this so promising is that it targets loss-of-function mutations in tumor suppressor proteins, which are traditionally considered undruggable. These mutations are found in up to 90% of difficult-to-treat cases like pancreatic and ovarian cancer, though it is still strictly in the preclinical mouse stage.
And that is going to do it for today's briefing. A lot of heavy shifts in the industry to process today.
Thanks as always for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow to break down whatever the tech landscape throws at us next.
Take care, everyone.